Show on this station at this time. It's Mike and the Haas on WASR, powered by the Yum Yum Shop in downtown Wolfboro, Kingswood Sports, New Hampshire Sports, and National Sports. So here they are, Mike Denae and Charlie Hossick.
Good afternoon and welcome to Mike and the Haas on WASR Radio, powered by the Yum Yum Shop. I'm Mike Denae, and alongside Charlie Hossack, we are Mike and the Haas. Charlie, how are you doing today?
You came in smiling. Yeah, no, I'm feeling good. Yeah. Life's good. This is, I don't know, if we call it our last day of freedom, maybe that's a little too much. But
I had to go in.
You today. Had to work today, but yeah. So I start. I mean, so do you. We have our in-service for the next few days, and then kind of our last hurrah coming up is Labor Day weekend. Weather's changed a little bit, though. Eric's always right on with his forecast, but it cooled down for the past few days and got a little bit muggier today. And we're gonna see the remnants of that terrible storm, Hurricane Ida, that kind of pummeled Louisiana.
We're gonna be seeing that
on Thursday.
Thursday, right?
Is that correct, Eric? Okay, yeah, on Thursday we'll be seeing some of the remnants.
Are we gonna get hit hard? No.
No, I mean, I think we're just gonna get wet.
I mean, some of the pictures were from Ida. You know, I saw one like a roof getting blown off. There were some gusts, and then
yeah.
I mean, still, I don't say that nothing. Don't want to use the wrong words here, but nothing matches what Katrina. Or,
true. I mean, it was a category four, but they said it was only 10 miles. If it had gone 10 miles per hour, it would have been a category five, which was Katrina. But sir, obviously,
Andrew. Remember,
Katrina was just terrible.
It was Hurricane Andrew. That was like Florida.
Yeah,
and then. There was another one that was in the Carolinas. That was a big one. I don't remember.
Yeah, so that's. That's tough.
I don't remember. I don't remember.
But we're not getting obviously hit with the hurricane here. And we had our opportunity, and that kind of fizzled out with Henry or whatever they were calling it. I called it Henry, but they were
Henri.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Eric said we weren't going to get hit, and he was right.
He's right on. I just need to stop listening to anyone but Eric, and then probably my life would be a lot better. So I'm excited though. I mean, I'm excited to get back to school. This is the time of year, and I probably say it every September, where it's good for me to start to have a schedule again, and to start being able to say, okay, this is what I'm going to do between these hours, because it's a little loosey goosey kind of for me now, where I kind of like it, but I can't live my life like that. I need to be able to get back into a routine.
A reason to get out of bed? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely have a reason to get out of bed, but sometimes it's like, if I want to grab a little workout, sometimes I do it at 10 in the morning, sometimes I do it at 5 at night, so there's no real consistency. So
I've been all over the place this summer. I've had my days when 9 o'clock is when I get out, and then other days I'm Coach Skelly and getting out of bed at 5:30.
Right.
So it's
Now you didn't. Speaking of schedules, you didn't watch the boxing match last night.
I didn't, but I laid a couple dollars on it though.
Oh, you did? Good for you. Did you pick the winner?
I sort of. I was going for the prop bet, so I had I had a knockout in the second round, a knockout in the sixth round, and then a draw. Those were the three prop bets that I put on.
Okay, so there weren't any knockouts.
No, there were not knockouts, and it was a split decision.
Yeah,
Jake Paul got the win, but it wasn't a draw.
Gotcha.
So, all
right, well, still fun. But I appreciate you having my son over. He enjoyed watching the fight.
Didn't know he was there till this morning.
Well, great.
we at school, we were in meetings, and it's like often we wake up in the morning and we go when we leave.
Yeah.
There are cars that we have no idea who they belong to, and probably not a very safe thing to do.
Wow.
We want to announce though that this Friday we're going to be broadcasting the Kingswood football game.
We are. So it's their home opener against Merrimack Valley.
Yep. That's going to be at 7 o'clock.
Well, pregame 6:50.
6:50, and we're going to have Coach Landry on later today at 4:45. He's going to give us a quick preview because he's in the middle of practice.
Yes.
So he's going to give us a quick preview about what's going on with his team and what the season outlook is, and maybe highlight a few players. So that's what's going to be going on today. Plus, we have some Patriots stuff, some Red Sox stuff, and Eric's Wonders.
Oh, boy.
Brought to you by
Skelly's Market, the convenience store with a little more.
All right. Mike and the Haas is powered by the Yum Yum Shop, located in the heart of downtown Wolfboro. It can be found on WASR 97.1 FM and 1420 AM and all over the world on WASR.net. The Yum Yum Shop has over 100 varieties of fresh baked goods, including 6 different types of bread and a full-service ice cream bar, and, of course, their most famous item, the gingerbread cookie. Make sure to visit the Yum Yum Shop the next time you are in Wolfboro or online at yumyumshop.com. And while you're there, enter the discount code of Mike and the Haas or WASR to receive $5 off a gingy box. You can always join our conversation, 569 Lake, 569-5253. All right, takes.
Yeah, go ahead if you want to. I like your take.
So, this is actually stems from the Red Sox. And now that I'm thinking about it, I guess I don't know for a fact that Kiki Hernandez and Christian Arroyo are not vaccinated. I don't know that for a fact.
Yeah.
But they got COVID. Both of them got COVID.
Yeah. And
I believe
that. And Vasquez was a close contact.
And so if you're not vaccinated and you're a close contact, you have to quarantine for 10 days or 10 whatever,
days,
it
whatever
it is.
Whatever
it
is.
But if you are vaccinated and you're close contact, that you don't have to quarantine.
That's correct.
So by that, because they're not going to tell you if you're quarantined.
Christian Vasquez is not vaccinated. Because
and I believe Christian Arroyo is not vaccinated because he had to quarantine.
That's right.
And then
you start to figure it out. Like, obviously, you know, people aren't going to tell you whether or not, or they don't have to, of course, but you figure it out based on what the rules are.
So the Red Sox lost the game yesterday because of this, because guys aren't vaccinated.
Right.
And they were looking good. They had won a nice game on Friday night. They won a nice game on Saturday night. Started getting a little momentum. They had a 4-0 lead yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Bullpen kind of let it down. And the winning run for Cleveland ended up crossing the plate in the eighth inning because of runner's interference or fielder's interference.
Right.
Rounding second base because the second baseman was completely out of position.
Yeah.
Who was a Triple-A call-up to fill in for Kiki Hernandez and Christian Arroyo because they didn't have any second baseman.
Yeah, first time and in that position, that situation.
And he was out of position.
Yeah.
And the guy ran into him, and you know they gave him the run, and that was the end of the Red Sox for that day.
Right.
And these games matter. They're going into Tampa tonight.
Mm-hmm.
So they needed. They're not going to do well against Tampa.
Right.
Tampa's doing really well. And
you've got the A's playing the Yankees. So this is one of those things where I can never root for the Yankees, but
The A's won yesterday.
The A's won, and if the A's continue to win, they're gonna nip that lead for the second wildcard.
I believe it's 2.5 right now.
It is,
and the Red Sox are 2 behind the Yankees. They could have closed it to 1, but again, this is we've spent some time on this show that we talk about COVID and responsibility and getting things down, and it's more than just about yourself. It's about the rest of your team,
right?
And what they have at stake.
Mm-hmm.
We've referenced Cam Newton before, you know, multiple times.
We have. Yeah.
You know, there's 53 guys, not including any coaching staff or anything like that, are depending on him to go out there.
Right.
I'm not depending on him. I'm hoping I'm depending on Mac Jones. But
yeah. We'll talk about that.
If he's not vaccinated, which we know he's not, and he gets COVID or whatever, he gets a close contact, has to quarantine or whatever the case might be, it's costing the team. And I think this is a direct result of somebody who was not vaccinated on the team. Two guys, three guys, you mentioned the third one, that ended up costing them.
Yeah, I look at it this perspective, Mike. Like, let's use Cam Newton for an example. Let's say that for some reason he tests positive or is a close contact on a Saturday. He misses that Sunday game and the following Sunday's game. Like, he potentially could miss 2 weeks of football because of being irresponsible.
And if, you know, you hope that they have enough guys in that team that are vaccinated where close contact stuff is not,
right,
you know, going to matter. But, geez, I mean, at some point, I support the NFL if they want to mandate vaccines. They mandated it for their coaching staff.
Yeah, they did.
They mandated it for all the equipment people.
Mm-hmm.
We're starting to see private schools mandate vaccines.
I was going to say that you made a good point. You're reading my mind. So I had a great conversation yesterday. So looking at within our Lakes region, so our private schools within our Lakes region, you know, your Tiltons and your Brewsters, of course, here in Wolfboro, in order to play sports, you must be vaccinated.
Yep.
And that is the requirement. Of course, if you're of age, you know, you're going to have some 14-year-olds at a boarding school that aren't eligible yet to be vaccinated, or 15-year-olds. But if you're eligible, so if you're 16 and older and you play an interscholastic sport, you are required to be vaccinated.
Not interscholastic. Well
with
a private school.
Isn't that still, wouldn't that be considered interscholastic?
I don't think so.
I don't know.
Sure.
We'll have to get
the
definition of interscholastic. We're not talking public school. We're talking about private.
Okay.
So
you know that out of in New Hampshire, the eligible eligible kids that can get vaccinated, so basically
16 and over, right?
No, is it 16 or 14? I think it's 14 because the middle school they can
be
vaccinated.
Oh, it's 12. Oh, my gosh.
12.
Oh, my gosh. So I'm over here with random. So everybody in private school has to be vaccinated.
So only 36% are vaccinated.
Is this public school you're talking about?
36% of eligible kids in the state of New Hampshire are vaccinated.
Gotcha.
I got that. It was like last Friday. So
I don't know
sure
why I was on with some 16-year-olds. Because so let's use Brewster as an example. If you're a student at Brewster Academy and you play a sport, you must be vaccinated or you can't play a sport.
Do you support that?
Yeah, 100%. Definitely. Absolutely.
100%.
Absolutely.
I just think it's going to be a matter of time, especially now that Pfizer has been approved by the FDA. So
right. You know. And that's what a lot of these schools were waiting for. Once the FDA approved it, then they could say, okay, here are our requirements. And it wouldn't surprise me if the NFL now could technically do that. I mean, before it was like, well, it's not FDA approved, so you can be wishy-washy. But now it is. They certainly could make mandates. You see, they're doing it. What state is it? The great state of Maine. They're requiring. What is it, Governor Mills? She's requiring, or is it he?
Health professionals.
Yeah, all healthcare professionals must be vaccinated. And there, I was watching. You know, all I get is Maine news where I live. So I was watching the Maine news, and they were interviewing like some nurse, 44 years. She's not getting vaccinated, so she retired. So it's impacting people.
A good friend of mine in Maine, it's impacting his family too.
Yeah.
His wife's a dental hygienist, and they're in the same boat. And, you know, I don't want to get into it because he's a good friend of mine, but it's hard. I support vaccines. I support vaccines, and hopefully it works out, you know, for everybody.
And hopefully, as far as the sporting world, and specifically the Red Sox and the Patriots, hopefully this isn't going to continue, because you're right. The Red Sox lost last night because of a vaccination issue.
Yeah. I agree. I know it's – I mean, you could argue that they won the other night because of it too, because
– You could. Yeah,
Ruiz hit that three-run home run. Who was playing for Kiki Hernandez?
Everybody's
too.
Like, who? Yeah, I know.
All right, awesome. You're up. You got a couple wins.
Yeah, so I'm sure you saw this. Javi Baez.
I did see it.
Okay. Yeah, he currently plays for the New York Mets. He was a former player for the Chicago Cubs. And what he has been doing, let me just
– Not just him.
No, I know, not just him. But let me tell you a little something. Coming into Sunday's game, so yesterday's game against the Washington Nationals, he was hitting .207 with 3 home runs and 5 RBIs since being acquired last month from the Cubs. So he's pretty much stinking it up right now. And what he decided to do, and I know that it's not just him. One of them was who's the other? There's a couple other players. I'm not going to remember their names now, but one of them has one of them is a pretty popular player. But what he decided to do is that when he got on base, he gave a thumbs down gesture, and this gesture
when the fans were cheering him.
Yeah, when the fans were cheering him, because every time he came up, he was being booed. The boo birds were out, because typically he's not hitting, he's not playing well, he's not even playing well defensively.
Yeah.
So when the fans were cheering him because he hit a double. He put a thumbs down, which pretty much was a gesture towards the fans, saying that I'm not supporting you. I can't stand you. The Mets organization came out and it says Mets fans are understandably frustrated over the team's recent performance. The players in the organization are equally frustrated, but the fans at Citi Field have every right to express their own disappointment. Booing is every fan's right. The Mets will not tolerate any player gesture that is unprofessional in its meaning or is directed in a negative way toward our fans. I will be meeting with our players and staff to convey this message. So,
Javi Baez is a jerk.
Yeah.
I mean, and talk about somebody who, the numbers that he has, you had written down, he's batting .207.
Yeah.
He has 3 home runs and 5 RBIs. Who does he think he is?
Right.
Why aren't you thankful that you had an at bat?
Exactly. I mean, this isn't Mike Trout.
No,
this is first of all, I thought it was interesting. I'm proud. I'm not a Mets fan, obviously, but I'm proud of the Mets management that said, we're not going to tolerate this. Who do you think you are? If you're a professional baseball player, the only reason why you're getting paid millions of dollars is when you get on base and look at all the people sitting in those seats, all those fans that support you and spend their money so that you can get paid lots of dough.
Some of the major leaguers, not all of them, some of them appreciate why they're there.
Absolutely.
But some of them feel like it's their right.
Yeah.
You know, that it's their right to make millions and millions of dollars. And this is not just baseball. This is
any sport.
I mean, the NBA is really bad with this. The NFL, they just feel like it's their right to be there, and that, you know, that the fans don't have any right to boo them because it's their right. No matter what happens, they're going to be in the major leagues. I'm guessing that Javi Baez is not going to be on the Mets for very long, and I'm also guessing that Javi Baez is not going to be in the major leagues for very long,
and we're never
going to say the name Javi Baez again.
All right. I agree.
Mike and the Haas, we'll be right back.
Mike and the Haas is sponsored by Duran Independent Insurance.
If you're in the market for your health, life, or long-term care insurance, start with Paul Duran at Duran Independent Insurance. Paul and his team can answer any of your insurance questions with an independent voice. They can help you shop for the best rates available in New Hampshire and are your trusted time saver. So for any of your life, health, or long-term care insurance, start with Duran Independent Insurance. You can reach them at 603-569-6464 or DuranIndependentInsurance.com. Duran is independent and works for you.
Hey, this is Mike and Charlie from Mike and the Hoss. If you're looking for a great night out, try the Full Belly Bar and Grill at Kingswood Country Club. The Bar and Grill is a delicious Friday night prime rib for $20, plus additional food and drink specials every night.
Hey, Mike, don't forget about the Full Belly Deli on Mill Street in downtown Wolfboro for some of the tastiest subs in town. You have to try the Full Belly Deli. Both restaurants offer delivery and takeout. You can reach the Full Belly Deli at 603-569-1955.
And you can reach the Bar and Grill at 603-569-9869. And check out the 2021 Summer Concert Series on the Full Belly Bar and Grill Facebook page.
Going on a trip? Start your travels with less stress.
JCN Shuttle offers transportation to and from all local and regional airports, concert venues, sporting events, and will even take you to the casino.
Need to get your car to Florida? JCN Shuttle features long-haul vehicle transport to anywhere in the continental United States.
JCN Shuttle is locally owned and operated and fully insured.
They are currently offering a 10% discount off the purchase of any gift certificate.
Give JCN Shuttle a call at 603-515-1894 or visit jcnshuttle.com.
JCN Shuttle will take you anywhere at any time.
Let them do the driving so you don't have to.
Welcome back to Mike and the Hoss, 569-5253. We're just doing a little couple technical things.
Yeah,
hopefully
the
signal
sure
sounds
the correct.
Hopefully the signal sounds okay.
I hope so.
I don't know.
I got a couple people watching.
Full Belly Deli. It is this week. Oh, summer is winding down.
Oh,
Organized
boy.
Chaos.
Ooh, that sounds like a big
Organized Chaos
show.
At the Full Belly Deli.
And that's September 4th.
Yeah, I mentioned I went to Jason Mraz last week at Meadowbrook and. And I said that I love Jason Mraz's music, but he's more of a coffee shop kind of guy.
Yeah.
And I have a feeling Organized Chaos is not a coffee shop. They seem like they're going to get after it.
I think they're going to.
You get a name like Organized Chaos.
Yeah.
You know, that's either your video game name. What do you call those?
Your handle. Yeah. Well, good.
Did you catch? It was at a baseball game last night that this guy, and I'm not a big gamer, so I don't know these, but his war partner, they never. You ever seen the movie Ready Player One?
I haven't seen Ready Player One.
You read it? Okay, yeah. So it's a great movie. Actually, you want to see it because that's what the future is going to be like. Because they have these alternate worlds that they're working, you know, and their handles or their avatar. Thank you. They have friends and they hang out with each other. Anyway, so this guy's partner, Major League Baseball player's partner in this whatever war game he plays, he had never met before. They've been playing for years. And so finally they met at the baseball game. The guy came down in the stands and they had set up that they were going to meet. He says, hey, by the way, I'm the third baseman for the Pirates or whatever he was.
Yeah.
And so they came, they met, said, I'm going to be at third base. And they've never met each other before.
Wow.
But they've been friends for years and years, and partners in whatever.
For all their gaming endeavors. That's pretty cool.
It was kind of neat.
Kind of scary, too. You think that you're connected with someone that you've never met.
Ready Player One, watch it.
Okay.
It's good. Because that's where we're headed down that road.
Yeah.
We are headed down that road. And what was the video game the kids were playing a couple years ago that was like we couldn't keep it out of their hands? Fortnite. Thank you.
Fortnite. Our kids played that.
Yeah.
Right on.
Did you watch the – first of all –
Yes, I did watch the Patriots.
Holy crap. From the hours of basically about 6 o'clock to 9 o'clock at night last night was some of the best TV as far as sports goes.
Right.
And I had tweeted about it. I said, this is crazy because I had to change the batteries in the clicker. I was going through them so much.
Because you had Little League World Series.
Which I didn't even get to.
Okay.
I didn't even get there.
You had Red Sox.
You had Red Sox in a pretty good game. You had the Patriots, which, you know, obviously there's a lot there.
Sure.
Then you had this PGA tournament that was going on.
Okay.
They went six into a sudden death, six holes, extra holes.
Wow.
That's unheard of in
golf.
It happened a couple times this year. But with Bryson DeChambeau, who's kind of like the villain now in golf, and another guy named Patrick Cantlay, another American, and they were going at it, and it was great drama.
Mm-hmm.
But that was happening all at the same time. And then there was the hurricane was hitting New Orleans. And,
right.
You know, so you kind of want to look in on that, too. It was pretty cool 3 hours. But speaking of the Patriots, they kind of looked like the rest of the other preseason games.
Yeah.
Cam Newton started, played two series, looked, made one good throw.
Yeah.
And that was it. He was, I agree. It was, Mac Jones came in and played a lot of the rest, you know, not he the did. Whole game, but he played at least two quarters.
Right.
Looked slightly shaky at times.
Yeah.
But overall, I thought he looked really good.
He looked shaky, I think, towards the end of the first half. But then when he came out in the second half, he looked amazing. That's when I texted you.
And mind you, you know, he got a couple reps with some of the starters.
Yeah.
But for the most part, he was playing with the UPS driver and the guy that's going to go work in the gift shop. And he made them look good.
He did.
He made them look good. So after the game, Belichick was asked about who the starting quarterback is.
Yeah.
And he says, I don't know yet. We have a lot of decisions to make.
So I had put in our notes, Bill Belichick's a genius. And the reason, we know this, but why would he reveal his hand right now? Because if you're the Miami Dolphins, you need to prep for Cam Newton, and you need to prep for Mac Jones.
Really? So, do you have to prep for Cam Newton? That dynamic passing offense that they're going to come at you with Cam Newton?
You understand. Of course, he's not going to throw the ball, so you would prepare for the run or Cam Newton running, which clearly is significantly better than Mac Jones running.
If Cam Newton's out there, you put an extra linebacker or an extra lineman.
You do.
If Mac Jones is on there, maybe you put an extra back or a defensive back,
you might
maybe an
to.
Extra safety yeah. or something like that. When Cam Newton's in there, there is nothing dynamic.
No.
Nothing whatsoever.
It is still preseason, so everything's pretty vanilla.
But when Mac Jones gets in there, they go five wide.
Yeah, they do. And they let him air it out, and he has such great field vision, being Mac Jones.
Pocket presence. He does all those things.
You can even see, and I think I texted you this, he carries out his fakes.
Yeah.
Like, it's like typically with pros, you don't always see them carrying out their fakes, especially in the preseason. You know, you would always see Brett Favre would always carry out his fakes. But
Drew,
it was just,
Drew Brees always, yeah, always,
it was
always carried
so
out his
good
fakes.
To see him, you know, do that. And the enthusiasm that he has, the leadership that he has, people want to be around him.
He blasted Gunnar Olszewski because he turned the wrong way.
Yeah. People want to be around this guy.
So, did Bill not name a starting quarterback because either, one, he's trying to dupe the Miami Dolphins and to, you know, make them have some game planning issues, or two,
dupe us,
he doesn't know.
Or he knows and he just doesn't want to.
Well, that's right. He's duping us.
He just doesn't want to let the fans.
So which one is it? Is he duping us or does he not know?
I don't think he knows. I honestly don't think he knows. I think, you know, you got 2 weeks until Miami, right? I think he would like to probably have another 4 or 5 days of practice, consult with Josh McDaniels, and then make the decision.
I'll give you a third option.
Yeah.
He doesn't know how to tell Cam that he's not the starter.
So he's got
to
figure that out.
That this is more about how does he tell Cam?
Yeah.
Or does he say, okay, we're going to go with 85% of the plays are going to be Mac Jones.
Yeah.
We're going to give Cam some goal line stuff and, you know, little slash things and something like that. Maybe that's what they're going to install over the next couple weeks. I don't think, and I'm probably wrong, it's probably going to be, you know, Cam Newton just because Belichick's stubborn and he tries to do what everybody else doesn't, you know, want him to do. But I don't think that you can be a somewhat having football knowledge and look at what you've seen from Cam Newton and look at what you've seen from Mac Jones.
Yeah.
And if it was a competition, how could you not have Mac Jones be your quarterback?
I don't disagree with you.
But if it's not a competition and you were going to have, because Cam Newton's gotten the almost like the Tom Brady treatment as far as, you know, you get two series and you're out.
Yeah.
I think the difference, though, is that when Tom Brady had two series, he was like 9 for 9, kind of stuff, with 130 yards, and it was clicking, and you can get him out. He's giving Cam Newton that and being 1 for 6, you know, with, you know, 3 3-and-outs or 2 3-and-outs.
Right.
That doesn't make any sense to me.
No, it's not helping him to become better. Now, do you think with Mac Jones, so right now let's say that he's pretty good. All right, like he could go and he could start week one. Agree? if we allow, not we, but if the Patriots have Mac Jones as their starting quarterback, looking at this kid, he's just going to continue to get better.
Yeah.
And I think seeing, you know, full game speed in a real game, you know, when it matters, that he is just going to become a better quarterback.
The moment does not seem to be too big for him.
No.
I mean, you mentioned he seemed to have gotten better every preseason game. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter who he's playing with. One of the knocks on Brady is that he was terrible with the younger guys. He was terrible with the, you know, the second,
like
third, and fourth
Myers,
stringers.
Like Jacoby Myers should have been like a stud with Brady.
And Mac Jones, like I said, he's thrown to UPS drivers, and it's fine.
He made the kid, that kid Wilbur, who may make the squad based on his performance last night, thanks to Mac Jones. I mean, he made that kid look like, I mean, he looked like Jerry Rice at times.
I know. So, I mean, isn't that what we talk about? Is that, are you the kind of player that makes other guys look better and play better?
Mm-hmm.
That seems to be Mac Jones. I don't think Cam Newton has that ability.
No.
They love Cam Newton.
Yeah.
The players love Cam Newton.
I think his presence is excellent.
I mean, he throws buddy passes all over the place.
Yeah.
I mean, he made a nice throw to Jacoby Myers that was kind of in a tight window, but it was about 9 yards, and it looked like, he looked like he wound up to throw it 60 yards.
Yeah.
It's bad football when he's in there. There's no rhythm, and I want to see some rhythm. All right, so the running game looked really good. I mean, it doesn't matter who they decide to run with, they look good. They're obviously the offensive line. You're a line guy.
Yeah.
That's going to be the defensive line, and the offensive line is going to be where this team wins.
That's right. I agree. J.J. Taylor, I love him.
Love him.
I'm impressed.
Love him.
I mean, I think he earned a spot on this team.
To a point where I'm wondering if James White. I think James White's not going to get cut because they
James
need that
White's
veteran.
James White's your third. He's your third down guy now.
And so what's J.J. White? What's J.J. Taylor?
I think he's going to return punts. I think he's going to do special teams.
So,
and I think they're going to work him into the mix. I think Gunner's gone.
You think Gunner's gone?
I think Gunner's gone. I don't think there's space for Gunner. So
okay,
which is too bad.
You know, Gunner was an All Pro, Pro Bowl. Pro Bowl punt returner last year.
I know.
Or All Pro. Might have been All Pro.
All Pro. You know, I know
he was
that.
The number one in the NFL.
I don't want him to go anywhere.
He was the number one in the NFL.
But he can't. So if you're keeping him just for that, maybe. But he can't catch a pass.
No.
Like he can't run a route. So he's not, even though he's on paper, he's kind of like Matthew Slater. He's on paper as a receiver, but he really is not a receiver.
They seem to have a lot of them. Brandon Bolden.
Yeah.
Probably not going to get cut.
No.
And he just
stick around
special teams.
Yeah.
That is really hard.
Now, what are you going to do with Quinn Norden, the kicker?
He looked good last night.
Like, do you keep practice squad? Like, do you keep a kicker on a practice squad?
They like Nick Folk.
I think it's Nick Folk's job.
I heard Brian Hoyer is going to be on the practice squad. They're only going to go to two quarterbacks
that
they're going to keep. They're going to keep Brian Hoyer in the practice squad. And so that's going to free up a position. It wouldn't surprise me if they put Quinn Norton.
Yeah. I mean, tomorrow, 4 p.m. is the deadline. They got to get down to 53 players.
Wide receivers are not getting open. Tight ends look really good. Gilmore.
Big decision.
No movement there.
So the big decision is, I mean, is he not playing because it's a contract issue?
Yes.
Okay.
So if they start him on the PUP.
He can't come back until after week 6.
Yes.
Yeah. But if they put him on the 53-man roster and then put him on IR, he can come back after the third week or week 3. He can come back. So what do you do with him?
Same thing with N'Keal Harry. What do you do with N'Keal Harry?
Oh, man, I wish we could trade him. But
well, the only way you're going to trade him is
not,
if you
can't trade an unhealthy player.
But if you're only going to trade him is if you put him on the 53 and then put him on the IR.
That's right. So, I mean, I think Gilmore is on the roster and then placed on injured reserve.
I heard Chase Winovich might be gone.
I know. Which is,
that's our Portsmouth connection.
That's our guy. But do you think Gilmore's going to play any reps for the Patriots this season?
Yes.
I ask you every week.
Yes. And my answer has been
nothing's
yes.
Nothing's changed. All right.
My answer is yes. It's too amicable. There's a plan. Maybe it's week 3. Maybe it's week 6.
Okay.
There's a plan.
All right. It
just reminds me a lot of Logan Mankins when that whole thing was happening. But that didn't seem to be as amicable.
This seems to be amicable.
All right. When we come back, it's going to be Eric's Wonders.
Hey, this is Charlie Hossack from Mike and the Hoss. Whether you're an Olympic athlete, weekend warrior, or just plain old like me, you should visit Seacoast Spine and Sports Injury Clinic. They have locations in Portsmouth, Hampton, and Alton, New Hampshire. The clinic has received numerous awards such as Best of Seacoast and Best of New Hampshire, and they accept most major health insurances. The clinic provides chiropractic sports medicine, routine chiropractic care, physical therapy, and naturopathic medicine. My family and I have been regular patients at the Seacoast Spine and Sports Clinic for the past 6 years and highly recommend them for all of your health care needs. Check them out on the web at seacoastsportsinjuries.com.
Hey, this is Mike from Mike and the Hoss. If you're in the real estate market, start with Faye Moore at Berkshire Hathaway. Faye brings 30 years experience to real estate in the Lakes region. If you're planning on selling, call Faye, and she could set up a complimentary market analysis to value your home and discuss anything you can do to help your house sell quicker and for more money. If you're buying, start with Faye. No one knows the local market better than Faye, and she will find the perfect house for you. So whether buying or selling, start with Faye Moore at Berkshire Hathaway by calling 888-723-0306 or verani.com.
Everyone deserves a treat in life. The Yum Yum Shop in beautiful downtown Wolfboro is offering an amazing deal on their Gingy Boxes. Gingy Boxes are 24 delicious gingerbread cookies with 2 containers of frosting. Gingy Boxes can be shipped anywhere in the world. When you order online at yumyumshop.com, enter the code WASR or Mike and the Hoss to receive $5 off your order.
So don't forget, to save $5 on a Gingy Box, enter the code WASR or Mike and the Hoss at yumyumshop.com. Welcome back, 569-5253. All right, it's time for Eric's Wonders, brought to you by Skelly's Market.
The convenience store with a little more.
Eric came to us. He did this with us Sunday. Did you text us Sunday on this one?
Yesterday.
Yeah, it was yesterday. Yeah. And he wanted to know where the term hat trick in hockey came from. And being a hockey guy and being athletic, we knew a hat trick, you know, referred to 3.
Yeah.
You know, 3 goals.
Did you just say being a hockey guy, being athletic? Did you just say that?
Being an athlete?
Oh, you. Sorry, I
was actually pointing at you. You
were referring to yourself as an athlete. I like that. You are. You're a big-time athlete to me.
Anyway.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I took the wind out of your sails.
Like all of Eric's wonders, you know, we know a little bit of surface of it, but we don't know the origination of it. And so the term hat trick, it first appeared in 1858 in cricket to describe H.H. Stevenson. You know him?
Gee, no. Sorry.
Who, taking 3 wickets with 3 consecutive deliveries. Fans held a collection for Stevenson and presented him with a hat bought with the proceeds. Hence, hat trick.
So the wickets are the little things that stand up behind, and they pitch throw the ball
and
try to knock them down. And he had three pitches.
3 pitches and 3 consecutive ones.
Wow.
So in hockey, a hat trick is referred to 3. So we will see if somebody hits 3 home runs in baseball.
Yeah.
It would be considered a hat trick. If somebody scores 3 goals in soccer, it's
a hat trick.
Yeah. If you score 2, it's a brace. That's something.
Ooh, brace?
A brace if you score 2 goals
brace in
soccer.
But in bowling, it's a turkey.
It's a turkey, yeah. 3 strikes in a row is a turkey. That's right.
A natural hat trick in hockey occurs when a player scores 3 consecutive goals uninterrupted by any other player scoring for either team.
Wow.
So that's a natural hat trick.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So what do they do? Do you know what they do? So, like, you know, I'm sure you've seen in the hockey games, someone gets a hat trick and they throw their hats onto the ice.
Yes.
What do they do with those hats? Do they donate them? Anything like that?
I would guess. I mean, they don't give them back to the people.
Yeah, I know that. That's why, like, my hat would not be going. I don't wear hats, but if I did, I wouldn't be throwing my $30 hat on the ice.
I mean, my guess is that it goes like some
donate them or something,
homeless shelter or something like that.
And this might be a Charlie wonder. When have I seen like octopi on the ice before? Do people like throw squids or something? Talk to me about that.
So I know Coach Matenda's listening and he might be able to jump in on this. 569-5253, Coach. But I believe the squid originated from the Detroit Red Wings.
Okay.
And that when the first goal of the game was scored, they would throw a squid out there. Now at UNH hockey games, they were doing the same thing.
Right.
That the first goal, some kid would sneak in a big squid, too.
Yeah,
I mean, it's like things like 3
big.
Feet long. I don't know how he got it in his shirt, but it's disgusting. And they would huck that thing on the ice.
Yeah.
That's
cool.
I mean, I don't know what the origination
why they do it. I do remember, seeing that or hearing about that.
Right.
That's pretty wild.
Yeah, so.
All right.
I guess Coach is not going to call. So, anyway, that's a hat trick. So, anytime you get 3.
Pretty good.
Drink three beers. It's a hat trick.
Yeah, Eric just had a hat trick.
Three pieces of cake. It's a hat trick.
That's good. So, Eric's Wonders. Who are they sponsored by?
Skelly's Market,
the convenience store
with a little more.
You got it. All right.
We had mentioned Red Sox a little bit, and I wrote this. I wrote a lot of our bullets on our notes before the game yesterday.
Yeah.
So some of them aren't going to apply.
Some
so
I pretty I, positive.
I, the first one I wrote down: found out how to win close games again.
Yeah. Well, except for yesterday.
Except for yesterday.
Yeah.
I said the bullpen is still very shaky.
That's agreed, still yep. still true.
A little side note: we're down on Cora last week. He was my opening take that Cora needs to be blamed.
Needs to have some of the blame.
I'm going to throw some props to Cora because when the back started getting up against the wall for the Red Sox, he doesn't leave these guys in to pitch anymore.
Right.
He's got quick
he's
hooks.
Yanking them.
Matt Barnes is no longer your closer. I don't know if you noticed that.
Yeah, I knew that.
Ottavino is basically, or Whitlock was a little bit.
Right.
And so he's a little bit quicker with the hook. The game that I went to see, he pulled E-Rod right out, and E-Rod pitched okay the other day.
Right.
But you still can't depend on him.
No.
I think that there seems to be a different side of Cora over the past week that I'm seeing, a little bit more, all right, you guys aren't going to play well, I'm not going to put you out there.
Right.
Now, saying that, I didn't recognize half the names that were on the field yesterday just because, and that's, I mean, a COVID thing, but
sure.
I don't understand. I'd rather have Kyle Schwarber play second base than get a, you know, keep his bat in the lineup.
Yeah.
I know he was in the outfield.
Well, they suck him in the outfield,
yeah.
But yeah.
I
don't disagree with you. Wait a minute. Coach Potenza has...
did he text us?
Yeah, he texted us, but he said he's called twice and nobody answered. Uh-uh.
Nobody's answering the phone.
He's pointing finger.
569-5253, yeah. Coach.
You got that? 569-5253.
Maybe that's why the phone hasn't been ringing.
Or maybe it's... You can also do 569 Lake, which is 569-5253.
All right.
All right. Try again, Coach.
So, The Red Sox are playing better. Cleveland is not a doormat like Texas was and Baltimore was.
Sure.
Cleveland has a better record than they're in the upper half of the league anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Is there hope? Have they turned it around? Let me ask you that.
I don't think they've turned it around. There certainly is hope, and I'm going to keep the hope alive. I think the Red Sox have to. Yeah, I think we're going to see. If they can continue to win series, I think they're going to be in good shape. They've got Tampa Bay coming up, and that's going to be challenging because there's – do we have a phone call? Oh, let's bring him on.
Hello, calling Mike and the Hoss.
Oh, now you answer.
Hey.
All right, well, so Eric's got to work on the ringer over there. It's not, it doesn't seem to be working.
I think we block your calls.
So we have Coach Potenza, the Kingswood High School varsity boys hockey coach, calling us. Coach, how are you?
I am well. How are you?
All right. I certainly liked where you're listening to the show from.
Oh, I'm standing at the end of the dock in the water, enjoying the day, listening to you two.
Good stuff. I love it.
We want to do a show on location. Maybe that's where we should do it.
Perfect.
Right at the beach, as long as it's sunny and warm.
Yeah. All right. Do you have anything to add to our conversation about the hat trick?
Well, I was curious. You didn't bring up the Gordie Howe hat trick.
I was going to, though we moved on. So why don't you tell us what the Gordie Howe hat trick is?
That's a goal, an assist, and a fight, all in one game.
Yes. And he had many of those.
Yes, he did. He was the king of the elbow.
That's right.
That's awesome. Do you have any insight on the other stuff we're talking about, the squid?
Well, that is from Joe Louis Arena. That's from the Red Wings. That's just something that they've done. And I had to shut you guys off to call earlier when you were talking about the fish at UNH.
Yeah.
But that's thrown on the first home goal, and that's to remind the visiting goalie to fish the puck out of the net.
Ah.
So it's not a squid they throw out, it's a fish they throw out?
It's a fish. I've thrown it myself. I actually landed it in the crease at a UNH Northeastern game.
Nice shot.
Good job. Wow.
Does it explode when it hits the ice, or is it like frozen?
They have a freezer that they keep them in down back, so they pull one out for each game, so you don't have to try to sneak one in anymore. They actually have them.
Oh, so it's organized. So you're not putting one in down your pants when you come in?
No, not anymore.
Oh, jeez. I was kind of hoping that was the story, as you know, some kid's walking in with a big fish down his pants.
So is this a coach? Is it the first goal of the entire season or the first goal of each game?
The first home goal of the game. So the first UNH goal they throw it.
Okay, gotcha. That's so cool.
So sometimes if it's a very tight, low-scoring game, you might have to carry that fish around for three periods.
No kidding. No kidding. Does it? Is it? It's frozen though, right?
Well, they take them out ahead of time so that they're not when they hit the ice. Right. But as soon as they scoop them up, they bring them back and throw them back in the freezer. They reuse the fish.
You're sitting. They reuse the fish.
Oh, that's okay. Good. Yeah. Right. Recycle.
That's right. Yeah. So you're sitting there. Is the fish in a bag or is it just sitting there wide open?
No, they give it to you in a bag.
And do you leave it in the bag until you throw it out there, or do you let the other people enjoy the odor of the fish?
I personally leave it in the bag. I have done it on more than one occasion, and I leave it in the bag until it is time for that fish to make an appearance.
Nice. How do you get it? How do you get it over the protective netting?
That's only at the very end of the building.
Oh, okay.
So if you're gonna throw the fish, you are given a spot.
All right. Well, the next question: how do you get chosen to throw the fish?
I know a couple people down there. That's how I get chosen. And I've done it not at any of the men's games, but the women's games, because my wife played there about 100 years ago.
It wasn't that long.
No.
It wasn't that long ago. All right. Do you have any more?
As far as hockey, have the teams been skating this summer? Any of your players?
Some of them have been playing in a summer league down in Hooksett at Tri-Town Arena.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had some other kids out. We did a tournament with Scoring Concepts with Andrew Trimble, who I know you guys both know.
Yes.
We did a tournament up in Waterville Valley and had a few of the kids on that team. So some of them have been skating. Some of them have not, and some of them have reached out to me for places to start skating.
Well, that's good. And you'll be able to do some organized stuff coming up the fall season.
Correct. And there'll be some stuff through Back Bay Youth Hockey coming up on Sundays, starting in September and early October, where I'll be able to get some of the high school kids out there to help me as we get Back Bay ready to get going.
Is your split team started yet with the Wolves?
We have not. The EHL, the EHLP, and all the full season teams, the U15, U16, U18, have started. The EHL and the EHLP teams are on the ice this week in Conway. And then all the teams will be on the ice at Merrill Fay Arena starting next Tuesday.
Nice.
Well, that's exciting. Good. Looking forward to talking hockey.
I'm definitely excited for some hockey.
Yeah.
Hey,
Coach Potenza can call us every week.
We should. I love it when you call. We should. At some point, we really should kind of evaluate the middle school coach of the year. as far as how he is as a hockey coach.
We're getting new uniforms, aren't we? Did I catch that?
We are, if we can get somebody to give us a quote. We've reached out. The first one we reached out for came in. It was a little bit high, so he's going to rework it and see what he can do. And I'm waiting for a second quote as well. But we are due for new uniforms this year, so we should have them. But back to your middle school thing. The middle school had a team this year that played down in Hooksett, and they looked pretty good. I went down to four of their games, and they looked pretty good.
No, that's exciting.
That's exciting, yeah. That's good. You need those feeder programs.
Get the numbers up. That's what we want to do. Coach.
Yeah, they had about 20 on the middle school team, so numbers are coming back.
That's awesome.
Wow. Hey, Coach, thanks for calling, and we look forward to talking to you a lot, in about a month or two.
Yep.
Yep. You guys have a great day.
All right, you too. Enjoy the beach.
I will. We'll see you later.
All right. Bye, Coach.
Bye.
It's always good to talk to Coach Potenza.
So we got ringer issues on the phone.
Yeah.
This might explain.
This is why nobody calls
us. The trivia question issue that we've been having.
So how did you figure out that the phone was ringing? Oh, you were staring at it.
I looked at it.
Oh, okay. Eric was so your new job is you have to stare at the phone the entire time.
Well,
all right. We'll figure it out.
Our past few trivia questions, we haven't had any calls, and we keep, I don't want to say dumbing him down, but we're basically saying, what color are the Red Sox? And still no call.
Yeah.
So.
And then we give him multiple choice.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to have the Kingswood varsity football coach, Coach Paul Landry, on with us. Mike and the Hoss.
Mike and the Hoss is sponsored by the Downtown Grill and Cafe. When in downtown Wolfboro, don't forget to stop at the Downtown Grill and Cafe. The Downtown Grill is open from 7 to 3, 7 days a week, 364 days a year, serving breakfast and lunch with daily specials and delicious homemade soups. The grill offers the finest organic and fair trade gourmet coffee and tea, several gluten-free options, and a unique and delicious breakfast and lunch menus. So for some of the best breakfast and lunch options in town, visit the Downtown Grill and Cafe during your next visit.
Are you getting married, celebrating anniversary, or just want to bring something beautiful to that holiday celebration? Linda's Flowers has been serving the Lakes region since 2003. They specialize in fresh-cut flowers, bouquets, plants, and gifts. Linda's Flowers is owned by Gwen, who is a Wolfboro native and focused on serving the local community. 569-4513 or stop by their shop, 91 Center Street in Wolfboro, New Hampshire. The shop is open Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, and Saturday, 9 to 1. You can also visit their website at flowersinwolfboronh.com, and Linda's Flowers will deliver right to your door. After the program today, I'm heading to Skelly's Market in Moultonboro, New Hampshire. They have all your grocery needs, plus more with great customer service. Pizza, subs, fried chicken, and a great selection of meats to put on your grill. On Saturday nights, there's always the much-loved pizza special, with two large topping pizzas for only $20. Skelly's also features Richardson's Ice Cream and the world-famous Bailey's Hot Fudge. Enjoy your visit to Skelly's Market at 374 Governor Wentworth Highway in Moultonboro, New Hampshire, and see why Skelly's is the convenience store with a little more.
Hey, Charlie, you know who else has some great ice cream?
Bailey's Bubble on Railroad Ave in downtown Wolfboro?
That's right. A Wolfboro institution. They're open from 11 to 9, 7 days a week.
Make sure you tell them Mike and the Haas sent you.
Welcome back to Mike and the Haas. On the Kingswood Hotline brought to you by Duran Independent Insurance. Duran is independent, works for you. We have Coach Paul Landry from the Kingswood High School varsity football team. Coach, can you hear us?
I can hear you. How are you guys doing?
Doing well, Coach.
Great, thank you.
So, Coach, we know you're up against it as far as time goes because you're in the middle of practice, and we really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us. How's your preseason gone so far?
Well, we've got a young crew, and we're working hard to get better at the basics. But we are getting there. We got a few good seniors that are leading the way, taking some good leadership. But the younger guys are typically, when you have a young team like this, you're a little bit behind the eight ball.
Coach, do you have captains? Have you selected captains this year, or do you want to highlight a couple of your players for us?
Yeah, Robbie Hotchkiss and Andrew Keniston are our captains this year, and they're our seniors, they're our leaders, and of course we have a newcomer with Matt Perkins. He's also doing cross country. He decided he wanted to try to do both, and he's out here with us, and he's got some good athleticism. He hasn't played much football, but he's an athlete, so he's figuring things out pretty quickly.
Yeah, that's
Tommy Giesler coming back. Oh, I'm sorry, I was just going to tell you the other senior, Tommy Giesler, is also coming back to us. He's a 4-year guy, and he works extremely hard at his positions.
Coach, I actually wanted to highlight Matt Perkins. I got a chance to see some highlight from the Jamboree this past weekend. Congratulations on another successful Tom Lovett Jamboree. But he looked good. I mean, for a kid that's never played football, you guys are doing a great job with him because he certainly is an athlete. So he's going to be exciting to watch this year as in Mr. Perkins. It'll be great.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think he's the best football's yet to come for him.
Coach, I know you had a few scrimmages. What do you see right now as your strengths for your team?
We have a good nucleus of kids that have been around this system for a few years now. So they understand what's expected, and they're kind of, like I said, taking that leadership role of all the little things that coach expects from a team. The scrimmages have been tough. I mean, the first couple out of the gate there, we had a couple kids, a couple teams, one from Hanover that's much improved off of the last couple years. They're much bigger, much stronger, and we had our hands full there. And Epping had some very good skill positions, and we just weren't ready for that yet. But we're working every day and working hard every day to identify some of the things that we need to get better at.
Can you just give us a quick preview? Friday night, we're excited. We're going to be there broadcasting your game, and we're looking forward to the game. But do you want to talk a little bit about Merrimack Valley and what you expect this Friday night?
Yeah, Merrimack Valley, offensively, they like to spread you out a little bit. They like to do what we call fender, where they have the number two receivers backpedaling. You got a read option up front with the quarterback and single running back with a quarterback. And, they like to throw the ball. You'll see the ball up in the air probably as much as you'll see us run it. they're pretty good at throwing the ball, and that's their system. If you watch any UNH football games, you'll see a lot of similarities. That's the read option and RPOs that we're seeing a lot more of now in spread offenses.
That's exciting, Coach. Coach, we really appreciate you taking the time to talk to us. I know you said you only want to do 5 minutes so you can get back to practice, so we're going to let you go. And we look forward to, you know, this weekend. We're looking forward to Friday night and doing your home games. You had mentioned the numbers are up a little bit from last year, and, you know, you're doing a great job with whatever process you're doing to get those numbers up. So good luck this week, Coach, and go get them.
Hey, thank you, and thank you guys for what you do to keep Kingswood in air with everybody, so everybody's up the front with what's going on with sports and our community. Appreciate it.
All right, good luck, Coach.
Good luck, Coach. See you Friday.
All right, take care. Bye-bye.
All right, that's good. So it's good to hear from Coach Landry, and that's, you know, it's exciting. Football season's always exciting. And,
you know what? I like the fact that Merrimack's going to throw the ball, because
yes.
I like it when one team is a heavy-duty run team and another team's a throwing, and it's kind of like a battle of wills.
It is.
And I like Kingswood's chances with a team that throws the ball a lot.
I agree.
You know, and I don't think Merrimack Valley is overly strong.
Yeah.
And so a team that's not strong that throws the ball is just asking for interceptions or asking for incompletions or asking for three and outs.
Exactly. And I think, and I know Coach wasn't going to get into this because that's not what a head coach does, but I think Kingswood has a really good shot Friday night, and I think they're hopefully going to walk away with a win.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to doing the game. Yeah. Again, we're going to be there, Mike and the Haas and WASR at 7 o'clock, pregame's at 6:50.
Yeah.
And those high school games usually run about 2 hours.
Definitely.
So I'm going to be planning to listen to us at 7 to 9.
And who knows? We may surprise people. We might have a guest at halftime.
Yeah, and we are, you know, still looking for some more sponsors. If anybody out there would like to get involved with the football game, we have a few right now, but, you know, certainly room for more.
Definitely. All right. Hey, speaking of not football, but speaking of baseball, did you see that Chris Sale had the immaculate inning?
I did.
It was his third of his career.
Yeah.
It's just
you know what the major league record is?
No.
3.
Oh my! And Chris Sale has it.
Well, he's tied.
Well, he's tied for the record.
Sandy Koufax, I think, is who he's tied with.
But it was so cool to see.
Yeah.
It was.
Yeah, isn't that something that there hasn't been more of that? I mean, with all the innings pitched.
Yeah.
And all of the closers that have come in, and that you know, throwing 102 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Like an Aroldis Chapman. You know.
Yeah.
When he's on, he's unhittable.
Or Kimbrel when he was on.
That, or you know, Dennis Eckersley, who didn't throw balls.
Sure. That's right.
You know that.
Yeah.
The record is 3.
Yeah.
3 immaculate innings.
Yeah. And Sale's got 3 of them.
You know, Sale looks good.
He
looks good, and he's probably the biggest reason why there is some hope with the Red Sox right now.
I agree. I agree with you.
Because he's really changed the attitude of that team. You know what I got for you?
What do you got for me?
I got some New England Patriots trivia.
You do?
I do.
Oh, a little treat.
We got a few extra minutes. I've been kind of saving this one.
Okay.
How about this one? I'm going to give you some choices.
Okay.
Who was the first head coach of the New England Patriots? Mike Holovac, Chuck Fairbanks, Nick Smart, or Lou Saban? I think I have a guess on this one. I have a guess.
I don't know. Sweet Lou Saban.
I was going to say Lou Saban, too.
Yeah. Who
and
is it?
It is Lou Saban.
Lou Saban was the first
head
coach. So was that back in 1960?
No, 1960. That's when he started. Here's a good one. What rookie helped revitalize the New England Patriots defensive line in 2001? That's their Super Bowl year. Their first Super Bowl year, 2001.
Okay.
Who was the rookie that revitalized the defensive line? Was it Vince Wilfork, Richard Seymour, Marcus Spears, or Ty Warren?
I'm going to go with Vince Wilfork.
No, that's Richard Seymour. I'm sure that's Richard Seymour.
Okay.
Yes.
Vince was a few years later then.
Vince was 04. He was a rookie in
03. 3 years later, yep.
Here's a good one for you. What New England Patriot earned Offensive Rookie of the Year honors in 1995? So Rookie of the Year honors in 1995. So that was Belichick's second year, I believe.
Was it 95?
I
guess.
Right around there. So was it Terry Glenn?
Yeah.
Drew Bledsoe?
Yeah, but Terry Glenn played for Parcells.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You said
Bill Belichick.
Oh, I meant
no,
Parcells.
I
meant Parcells,
yeah.
Yes. So Terry Glenn, Drew Bledsoe, Leonard Russell, or Curtis Martin?
It's
not an easy one.
It's not. I'm between Terry Glenn and Curtis Martin.
That's where I am, too.
I'll go with Terry Glenn.
And I'm going to say Curtis Martin because I'm winning right now.
Yeah.
It's Curtis Martin.
Good for you. Nice.
So
remember the whole drama with Bill Parcells because he called Terry Glenn she? Yes. Remember that whole thing and that whole thing.
You wouldn't get away with that now.
No, not at all. You know, not at all.
I remember that. Yeah. The whole training camp, because he had a hamstring or something like that, hamstring or groin that he had pulled.
Yeah, he'd be like, she's coming along.
The whole training camp he did that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But Terry Glenn, you know, I mean, rest in peace, too. Terry Glenn passed. But he followed when Parcells went to Dallas. He was down there.
Yep. He was fond of Parcells.
I don't know my Roman numeral, so I'm going to skip that one.
Okay, good for you. You're a math guy. I figured you'd know that.
What New England Patriot shared Pro Bowl MVP honors with wide receiver Keyshawn Johnson in 1999?
Does anybody watch the Pro Bowl, Mike? So, all right, so Keyshawn Johnson, yeah.
Was it Bruce Armstrong?
Yeah.
Not going to.
Probably not a lineman.
Lineman. Yeah. Drew Bledsoe.
Quarterback, okay.
Ty Law.
Yeah.
Willie McGinnis.
Ty Law.
I'm going to go Bledsoe.
All right.
And it was not. It was Ty Law.
All right. There we go. Finally got one.
Nobody watches it. So Pro Bowl's stupid. Pro Bowl, it's like basically two-hand touch.
And that's back when it was still like you go to Hawaii and do that.
Right.
Yeah.
Is there any, and I know we've talked a little bit about it before, is there any All-Star game that's good? Is there an All-Star game that you look forward to now?
I don't look forward to any of them, but I guess the closest to being good would be baseball because you still have to pitch the ball. And you still have to hit the ball, and the pitchers don't want you to hit the ball. You know what I mean? It's not so.
Yeah.
I don't know. And if the ball's hit to you, you don't want to commit an error. So I think it's the closest thing to them actually playing 100%.
I think so. It's probably the one that the score at the end of the game is realistic for a regular season game.
Yeah.
You know, your score at the end of the game is like 5-4.
Yeah, NBA, it's like 185 to, you know, 167.
And the NHL is like 13-11.
Yeah.
You know, because they don't play defense.
Right.
And in football.
Which stinks for the goalie.
In football, they don't do anything.
No.
In 1993, what NFL team made off-season trades for Joe Montana and Marcus Allen?
The Raiders.
No, I'm surprised.
Oh, the Kansas City Chiefs.
Kansas City Chiefs. Yes. Yeah. And
because Marcus Allen,
you were a big Montana fan. Yeah. I was a big Montana fan.
Chiefs, yeah.
And Montana, when he was traded to the Chiefs, they went to the AFC Championship game.
Oh, they did. Yeah.
And I forget who they ended up losing to. And it was like, oh my God, he's 35 years old. Look what he's doing at 35 years old. And now you got your boy Brady, who's winning Super Bowls at 44 years old.
It's crazy.
And he's listed right now as the number three quarterback in the league behind Mahomes and Rodgers.
I mean, barring any type of injury, he could go another few more years.
He really can.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't see this him slowing down. And they're a juggernaut down there in Tampa. They just kept. Now, I think at some point they're going to have to come pay the piper.
Right.
You know, Tampa, when all these salaries are going to get ridiculous and they're going to have to get under the cap.
Sure.
So at some point they're going to be a really bad team again.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, when you got Brady. And that's the one thing that Belichick never did. He did it in 07. But he had Brady all these years, but he didn't want to break the bank because he didn't want to go into those years, those lean years where they're trying to recover.
He always wanted to be competitive.
Yeah. So, all right.
Time for one more?
We got time for one more?
Sure.
All right. Who was the first player to rush for 1,000 yards in a season? Was it Jim Brown, Steve Van Buren, Beatty Feathers, or Joe Perry?
Oh, it's got to be Feathers.
Just because I'll go with Feathers.
Who
yeah,
was it?
It was Feathers.
Oh, yeah. It's just got to be.
All right. This is a good one. This is this is actually one that I want to say we almost did this as a trivia question. Okay. Which NFL team features a helmet logo on only one side of their helmet?
One side of their helmet.
Is it the Cowboys?
Yeah.
The Steelers? I don't think it's the Steelers. The Dolphins? I don't think it's the Dolphins. The Patriots? Don't think it's the Patriots.
No.
The Cowboys? Is there only one star of the Cowboys?
I don't know. Who is it?
Dun-dun-dun-dun. Steelers. It is not the Cowboys. It's the Steelers.
Yeah.
Huh.
Interesting.
Their logo is only one side of the helmet.
That's so cool.
I know. All right, here we go. We want to once again thank our advertisers for supporting Mike and the Hoss on WASR, powered by the MM Shop. Thanks to Faymore, Berkshire Hathaway.
Seacoast Spine and Sports Injuries Clinic.
Skelly's Market.
Lucas Roasting Company.
Duran Independent Insurance.
Carroll County Oil.
Downtown Grill and Cafe.
Weston Auto Body.
Linda's Flowers.
Bradley's Hardware.
JCN Shuttle.
Full Belly Deli.
And the Full Belly Bar and Grill. We will be back on Thursday with some hopefully more Kingswood previews.